The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning. What is this? I take one day off from my birthday. One day and the market tanks. What is this? Well, I guess it's the culture is that desperate for great local talk here in Southern Oregon. I'm just having fun with you. Anyway, join the conversation at 770-5633-770-KMED. My email, bill@billmeyershow.com, and the facebook.com/billmeyershow feed is up there, too. A lot of people asking me this morning, hey, Bill, I'm not going to have a radio by me this morning. And I want to make sure that I hear John West on the show. We're going to talk with John West because a recall came out on him on Friday. Former Josephine County Commissioner and former state rep Lily Morgan, she's currently the city manager of Gold Hill, ended up putting out a petition to recall John West, making a lot of claims. John is thinking that there's a lot that is wrong in that petition, or actually what he says is lying, and so we'll have him on next hour. And if you don't have a radio by you, stream on KMED.com or the Facebook Live will work, too, if you have Facebook at home, one way or the other. But anyway, it's a Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, and there's a lot of pebbles to throw in there. Markets tanked, but NASDAQ down about 1,000 points. It's no, NASDAQ was about 560 yesterday. The Dow Jones was down about 1,000 yesterday. One of the worst, very, 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 very bad days on the market. And it is interesting. We're kind of like waiting for this other shoe to drop. Not that, well, the market was kind of frothy all this year, especially with what was going on. People that were trading, and this is something that doesn't get talked about nearly enough. I am no expert on this. I'm going to see if maybe we can get Matt, our stock fellow, from Grants Pass to join in at some point this morning. I'll give him a call because he's had a really good bead on this. He's no longer a broker, and so he's able to be a little more candid about those sort of things. You're working for a brokerage, and you better talk what the brokerage wants you to talk about. When you're on your own, it's a little bit easier. But I think that what we're looking at here is when you actually look at where most of the gains have been coming in the tech, it's been coming in just a handful of stocks, and sometimes they call them the Magnificent Seven, and they've been magnificent at times. And as an example, Tesla's part of that Magnificent Seven, but it's not so great. Tesla, Apple, Nvidia. Nvidia has dropped about 25% this year. That's been the one that's been based on AI chips. Amazon.com, Microsoft, Alphabet, Meta, including Facebook. Those are all considered where most of the big gains in the stock market have come this year, and they have been having some corrective behavior as of late. But what really happened yesterday is really the yen carry trade, and a lot of folks may have trouble. In fact, I even had trouble really understanding what this is. But it's people betting on the difference in interest rates between one currency and another. And the yen, the central bank in Japan, has been trying to strengthen their currency because their currency was falling. They needed to strengthen it. The problem is that means you're raising interest rates. Well, what happens is that what a lot of people have done, the typical carry trade, is that you would borrow yen at a little more than 1% interest rate. You'd get yen, so you have this yen in your account, and then you'd also put money into a currency that has a higher rate of return, whether it's the U.S. dollar or some other currency, and the difference ends up being your profit. And well, when the yen ends up raising its interest rates, a lot of rice bowls end up being broken, so to speak, to use the old Asian term. And then you have to unwind these trades. And then when you have to start unwinding these trades, you start selling whatever you have. And if you have a lot of American stocks, you start selling American stocks. The fact that we had a relatively mediocre jobs report on Friday, especially the quality of the jobs, that's one of the most important things to take away. It's not that there were 115 or 150 or 175,000 jobs created in July. That's not as big a number as the fact that the vast majority of them were created in government and government services. In other words, jobs that don't produce anything. They don't produce a profit. It is a cost on people. Government jobs don't pay for themselves. They're an expense on society. All of them. If you have a government check, you're a cost on society. Now, you may provide some benefits, but you're not generating income. You're not generating money. There's no product that you're selling other than the fact that you can force someone to pay for the salary. And that's the way it's working. And when they see that, the markets start going, uh-oh, all right, about ready to roll over on the socialist agenda of making everybody working for the government. That is part of it. Then you combine it with, if you want to call it not a black swan maybe, but a gray swan of the yen interest rate going up, and then it starts unwinding that, people start racing for the exits. And sentiment matters. Sentiment matters, it really does. And some people I know lost a lot in yesterday's drop, and other folks, I don't have a very large 401k. It's just pretty small. As I've mentioned before, I've embarrassingly noted that you go through a couple of divorces and it has a fascinating way of destroying your wealth. So don't do that, all right? Don't do what I did. That's what I would tell people. But I've had this 401k that I would play with every now and then, along with some help, and I would pick a few stocks now and then. But most of mine are small cap, smaller companies that that we think are undervalued. And I took a little bit of a loss yesterday, maybe 3%, 2-3%. It wasn't that big of a deal. But, gold, still boring. Everybody else is going out there panicking. It took a little bit of a dip yesterday. It's still up there around $2,400 this morning. And even gold took a hit for a bit yesterday because, once again, like I was mentioning, when you have these kind of things going on, and you have big money involved in the yen carry trade is what they talked about. You know, I was just mentioning, you know, a few minutes ago and various other things. You sell whatever you have. If you have a lot of silver that you need to sell in order to make up for a loss somewhere else, we're talking about the way the big traders are working, that kind of thing. And that's what happens. And then there ends up being the panic sale. Even though there was a lot of panic buying of gold yesterday, there was also some panic selling from people who had to unwind. So it's kind of weird how... I shouldn't say weird. Weird is something that the Democrats like to say about us, but it's kind of unusual how that really works. But a lot of interlocking sentiments, and needless to say, we were due for correction. Everyone was kind of waiting for a correction, but I don't think that they were looking for a 3, 4, 5, or 1,000 points off the Dow in one day. Now the futures say they're going to be up a little bit, but they're not expecting to make up all of the loss from yesterday. They're not expecting that. There's not that much sentiment going there. So could there be a bounce? Don't know. Just kind of keep an eye on it. And, the market's open in about 10 minutes. We'll dip in and out of that just to keep you apprised of such a story. 19 minutes after 6. Oh, we had a collision on the Hellgate on Sunday. Yeah, Hellgate jet boat excursions. And the Sheriff's Department, Josephine County Sheriff's Department, investigating that boat collision. Private jet boat and the Hellgate jet boat, and the private boat ended up sinking, and they ended up taking numerous people to the hospital. 5 people were taken to the hospital. That ended up happening on Sunday. Hellgate put out a press release yesterday. In light of the incident that took place yesterday, we'd like to extend our gratitude to everyone who made the safety of those involved their highest priority. Grateful for the actions of our pilot and all crew members that ensured the passengers were kept safe and cared for. And we also appreciate the professionalism and care offered by the responding emergency agencies. Today, this isn't yesterday. We continue to gather information and learn about what happened as we cooperate with the investigation. As with any evolving investigation, we'd like to encourage everyone to take pause and wait for the official reports so the facts can be shared. And we genuinely appreciate the outpouring of kindness and support. So anyway, Hellgate not going to comment any further at this point, as you can imagine. That's what we know at this point in time. I'm just glad it doesn't appear anyone was killed because it could have been a bad thing. And so the private boat was also another jet boat on the on that Hellgate area. So there we go. That's what we have going on there. An American military base in Iraq attacked, and some other stories here. We'll touch about I'll touch on those here in the next few minutes. But if you have something on your mind, too, 770-5633. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rancher
Gorgon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
Vice President Kamala Harris names Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate. AP just ended up breaking that a couple of minutes ago, and it was reported this was going to be going there. And he's the current governor of Minnesota, former high school teacher, coach, longtime National Guard member, second term as Minnesota governor, and also... I think all you need to consider is that Walz let the rioters run wild in Minnesota. I think that's, in Minneapolis, rather. No, I'll get this right. In Minnesota, rather. It's Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, rather. And he let the rioters run wild in that state back in the day. Just remember Summer of Love. And so we got a pretty left-wing ticket. We'll just kind of leave it at that. Needless to say, we're going to be hearing more about Walz as time goes on. And apparently let go of Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania, wanting that. Probably not wanting to appear too Jewish friendly. I think that would be a reasonable assumption to make. It's 24 minutes after 6. Let me go to Tom. Tom, it's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. What's on your mind today, sir?
Well, I got lots of pebbles, but last Friday you... spoke with Colleen Roberts, and the topic seemed to be funding the jails, and a caller called in and was very irate that what's going on that we cannot pay for the most important functions, like having a functioning jail. So I'd like to ask two questions to focus on that.
Okay.
And where most of our tax money is going is to the federal government. So here's my question. How much of our tax dollars in Jackson County are going to Ukraine and the military-industrial complex? That's the first question. And
okay.
Very specific. I would really like to know, in this county, how much really is being siphoned off for a senseless, immoral war? Another one. The second question I have is how much of our money is going to support the illegal invasion? I'm talking about education. I'm talking about welfare. I'm talking about housing. I'm talking about medical care, free medical care. And finally, I'm talking about how much of Jackson County money is being siphoned off in the jail, no less.
Well, you'd have to. Well, now remember, Jackson County money doesn't get siphoned off away from the jail. Okay. You know, if the federal government. Now, the one thing is, though, is that it does the amount of money that the federal government takes or siphons out of Jackson County for everything that it chooses to do, along with the inflation tax. You know about that, because even all the money that's being siphoned out of Jackson County right now, and Josephine County for that matter, is really only helping pay the interest on the national debt, right? You'll agree with me there, right?
Well, that's what's the interest on the national debt we're paying for every time we go to the grocery store and the gas station.
Yeah, but we're also paying it directly income tax, is what I was saying.
Yeah,
income tax.
Yeah,
most of the income tax is going directly to pay for the credit card. Interest rate on it.
But what's that supplying? What's that supporting? It's supporting the military-industrial complex. That's my main point. Money is being siphoned off. That's the beauty of the fiat money system. You don't get to choose where your money goes. The government does the choosing for you.
And Jackson County and Josephine County, for that matter, don't have the ability just to turn on the printing press for themselves, unlike the federal government, right?
Yeah,
that's what the federal government's able to do. And so, That caller is angry about the county not being able to pay for a new jail. Well, the county has a jail right now, and its main source of revenue is the $2.01 levy, which pays for Jackson County services, and it also ends up paying for the sheriff's department right now, $2.01. And it's been that way for quite some time. That $2.01 doesn't provide the extra money that would be needed to more than double and build the size of the existing jail. You know that.
So I'm pointing out. You know, our tax monies are going to blow up half the planet, and the people. There are people. This system exists because it's very, very remunerative to people at the top. The oligarchy that actually run the country here, and so to just be complaining about. You know, that we don't have enough money. You got to realize the middle class is being strip mined.
Yeah, your money is going elsewhere and your system is actually supporting it because Washington, D.C. doesn't care that you have, you know, drug addicted, raving lunatics, you know, running around the streets here in Southern Oregon. That's not a concern of them. What is a concern, though, is that is there a splendid little war that we can continue to work? You know, work the racket for fun and profit, that kind of thing. And that's honestly, you know, the way it is, just the way it is.
Yeah, and so what's going on is people just don't realize what's going on with their tax money and the whole system. It's a systemic problem.
Well, could you also grasp, Tom, I think you would grasp this too, though, that people are so conditioned that, well, grants just come from the federal government. Why can't we just make this up and do a jail? You know, and the whole idea of the grant stream funding, which is also just created, borrowed into existence money, and ends up coming into the cities and the counties, it kind of corrupts people because they think that nothing has to be done or no work has to be performed in order to get money.
Yeah, that's our program. We've got it since we went to our government school and realized the government is God and the dispenser of all things good.
Yeah, and so you have people that are going, well, why can't the county just make up money out of thin air? Well, local governments can't do that. State government can't do that. But the federal government does, and so I think people are automatically corrupted in their mind. Well, I paid into Social Security. Of course you should give me a raise next year. You know, that sort of thing. And so they borrow more cash into existence in order to do it, right?
So you look at the whole system, and the people at the top are making money. But at the bottom rung of the thing, the free lunch is very big. So you have all the people at the top and bottom that are really
and of course, folks in the middle squeezed hard. Yeah. Tom, I appreciate your call. I'm right there with you. And, you know, A currency, the way we have currency designed since 1913, ultimately brings you to this point. They all go the same direction.
And what happened yesterday.
Yep, exactly. Thanks for the call. Let me go to Dave. Hello, Dave. How are you doing this morning? What's on your mind?
Well, two things. We don't have any money. If you look on it, it says U.S. Federal Reserve. It's not a reserve. It's a private bank, and all the money belongs to the Federal Reserve. Said, done. Money doesn't exist as we know it. Third, the second thing is they've been hauling out logs and stumps out here to Iron Gate on the other side.
Yeah.
And I seen Captain Bill at the store at Chevron, and he said hauling it out and placing it along the riverside, I guess for it to look good. But it's a big joke because the moment we get a big rainstorm, it's just going to float down the river.
Yeah. Kind of funny. I don't know if you caught that story the other day. I'll get Bill on the show this week to talk more about this. But there was an article over the weekend in the San Francisco Chronicle that was blaming problems on the dam removal there and why it's taking so long and so many problems, blaming it on wild horses. It was one of the most insane articles
that I read ever.
Did you read that article?
Yes, I did.
Oh, just absolutely. Yes. No, it's not the stupid humans with their environmental ideologues at the top of it. It's not the stupid humans that have caused all the problems. It's the wild horses running around. Yeah. Oh, just insanity. All right. Hey, thanks for the call there, Dave. It's 6:32. Last week, numerous people were saying, Bill, we get a chance to vote on ranked choice voting. Dear God, help us if we pass ranked choice voting. But what does it mean? It's very confusing. And I'm going to be talking with Trent England here in a couple of minutes, and he's a part of a group that's doing everything possible to stop ranked choice voting. Ranked choice voting is the latest hot Democratic trend in various states. When I talk about Democrat, not democracy, but Democratic Party, this is the latest hot trend to distract you and say, hey, vote for this and your voting will be better. Look, 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 ranked choice voting. We'll talk with him about that and why it's such a bad thing. He'll explain how that works, too, coming up.
The threat of wildfire poses a growing risk to Oregonians. And recent wildfires have provided some important lessons.
Independence to Rogue Valley residents. Power to the people by Patriots.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED. And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Now, it's just going to be a few weeks from now. Voters in seven states are going to decide ballot measures involving ranked choice voting. And you'll see this abbreviated as RCV, right? Ranked choice voting is one of these things which the state of Oregon, we're going to get a chance to vote on this. What does it mean? And when you consider that most of the people backing this are deep-pocketed Democratic Party operatives, I think that kind of gives you a sense of where we could be going. So I want to be fair about this and talk to Trent England. He and Jason Snead are co-chairs of the Stop RCV Coalition. Trent, it's great to have you on. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Bill. Thank you so much.
Last time I had you on, I do believe we were talking about the fight against Electoral College. This is also something that these deep-pocketed, mostly left-wing activists are involved in, but now they've shifted over to, in this case, ranked choice voting. Can you explain what that is and what's going on here?
Yeah, sure thing. And the bottom line is ranked choice voting makes voting harder for voters. It makes counting the votes harder for election officials. And it makes it harder for all of us to trust the results. So what is this ranked choice voting system? Instead of voting for a candidate, in a ranked choice voting election, voters rank the candidates. And, you know, the devil is in the details. Some systems allow them to rank three. Some allow them to rank five. Some allow them to rank all the candidates that are on the ballot. My understanding in Oregon, I think you'd be able to rank as many candidates as happen to run in the race. And so then this creates a strange question about how you count these ballots, right? This, you know, it's pretty easy to count ballots when everybody's casting a vote for a candidate, you know, right. One person, one vote. This is a bunch of votes for a bunch of candidates potentially, and the votes have sort of different weights. So what they do is they count up the first place votes, and then if no candidate receives a majority of those first place votes, then they go to the candidate who's the least popular, eliminate that candidate, and they look at all the ballots where that candidate got a number one vote, right, a first place vote, and if there's a second place vote on that ballot, then they shift that up to be the first place vote, and then they add that back in with all the other first place votes, you know, count it again. And once again, if somebody has a majority, then they say that person's the winner. If they don't, then they do the same thing. And so you can wind up with, you know, some ballots, the first choice gets counted on every round. Some ballots get their second or third or fourth choice counted. And if voters don't rank all of the candidates or, you know, don't rank everybody all the way down the ballot, if the candidates they did vote for get eliminated, then their ballot's just set aside. Their vote's not counted. You don't show up in the winner or the loser, unless you voted for the one of the candidates that's in the final round of that system of tabulation. So it's very complicated. If listeners are sitting out there thinking, wait a second, this is complicated, I'm not sure I understand that, that's the point. That's the problem. That is the problem with this election system. If you don't understand it, in a way you get it. This is why it's such a threat. It's hard for voters to understand what your vote means. You actually can't know for sure what your vote will mean because you don't know who's going to be eliminated from that election and all those rounds of counting and recounting. And it's just hard to understand what those results are because, you know, like in Alaska, you might have a situation where most of the voters wanted a Republican, but it's a Democrat who wins in the end because so many votes wind up getting discounted by this process when they are counting and recounting. So it's just a really convoluted way to do elections. And, you know, by the way, I think the tell here is the Oregon legislature, of course, put this on the ballot. There's one group of elected officials who are exempt from it, and that is the Oregon legislature. So they
Wait a minute. So the legislature throws ranked choice voting to the people for everybody else's elections, but they exempt themselves? Really?
That's right. That's right. This would apply to federal elections. It would apply to state elections, except the legislature. And it would create an option for local elections to use ranked choice voting if they so choose. But not the legislature. That's right. The people who put this on the ballot, it's ranked choice voting for thee, but not for me.
Oh, wow. That tells you that we think ranked choice voting is such a great idea. We want to make sure you can't use it to vote on us.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny, actually. It'd be funny if it weren't so tragic of what they're trying to do here. Now, is this mostly... I can't help but wonder the fact that the Oregon State Legislature, which is controlled by the Democratic Party here, is this a Democratic Party kind of issue right now, or just a progressive issue in general that the more complex we make voting, the better it is for everyone?
Yeah, I would say it tends to be a progressive issue. Now, it passed the Oregon legislature on a party line vote, but of course, that's after the quote unquote compromise where that doesn't apply to legislators. And, a lot of Democrats are, I think, sort of running scared of their far left progressive base. What we have seen in other places where it's basically, one party Democrat control, like down in Oakland, California and Alameda County down there. You've got progressives who have pushed ranked choice voting into that county, and you've got a lot of other Democrats, because they're basically just Democrats down there, who are opposed to it and trying to repeal it in Alameda County. And in Washington, D.C., you've got a group of progressives that have put ranked choice voting on the ballot there. But it's opposed by the, not just the handful of conservatives who live in D.C., but it's opposed by the D.C. Democratic Party. Same thing in Nevada, actually. Progressives have put ranked choice voting on the ballot there, but the Nevada Democratic Party has come out against it. So, this is really being pushed by, sort of the far left progressives with, some Democrats, I think, sort of grudgingly going along and others actually standing up and saying, wait a second, the irony is, a lot of these folks on the left are the same ones who 10 years ago were lecturing us that it's too complicated to ask voters to show a photo ID before they vote, right? That's too complicated. And now they're the same people pushing this system. And to their credit, we've seen some leaders like in the NAACP stand up and say, wait a second, if voter ID might be disenfranchisement, obviously ranked choice voting is disenfranchising voters who, may have some kind of a disability or just have less political information. So we're seeing this fight actually play out within the left. Thankfully, most conservatives instinctively look at this and just say, wait, this is a terrible idea.
It's interesting when I think back to some elections in the past. Now, I'm a Republican. I've made no bones about this, Trent. All right. But and people know that we had a jungle primary for GOP gubernatorial candidates. This was a couple of years ago. And there were 17 people running in the primary. 17. So you could imagine that was pretty much chaotic. The vote splitting was just incredible. Is this whole purpose of ranked choice voting trying to make heads or tails out of those kind of situations? Because the person who ended up winning out of that 17, let's say that most of the Republicans wanted conservatives. The one that ended up winning the vote, though, in the primary ended up being what you would call a moderate here. And yet, smaller, but still a larger whole than the other 16 who may have been more conservative. Is that kind of what ranked choice voting is designed to try to fix in some people's minds or not? I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, that's definitely one of the things that the folks pushing this will point to. They say, look, you sometimes either in primaries or in municipal races where they're nonpartisan, you sometimes get these multi-candidate races where the vote is all is all divvied up and the winner winds up having a small plurality and I'm sympathetic to that argument, right? It is a challenge when that happens. So that's one of the arguments that they make. I mean, one thing that I would suggest in places where that's a problem. You know, where I live now in Oklahoma, they just do a runoff election.
Yes.
So you have to win the primary. You know, if nobody gets a majority, then they hold another election a few weeks later, and somebody wins out of that. I think it's a pretty good system and just a lot simpler for voters than this RCV system.
All right. So as an example, instead of going to ranked choice voting in that year that we had that 17-candidate primary once again, you would have the 17 primary vote and then the top two then go into a runoff.
Yeah.
That type of thing. Is that how they would normally do it, let's say?
That's how we do it in Oklahoma. I think there are other states where you have to, the winner has to have at least 40%. So it's not even a majority, but, you know, they've got to have some threshold of support or else they do a runoff. And, it's a nice, you know, it's a nice way to winnow that field down and then have the conversation between whoever, you know, whoever happened to be the two most popular candidates.
Now, in Josephine County, the county, not right next to Jackson County, what happens with them is that it's a nonpartisan county commission race is what they do. So a bunch of people will run, but usually unless one candidate gets more than 50% of the vote, then they end up doing a runoff between the top two is what they then do for the fall election. And it seems to work pretty well. And I guess in some respects, what I'm hearing about from you is that ranked choice voting is this a solution that will just make the problem worse in many cases. Right.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the people who are pushing this, they make all kinds of claims that it's going to solve all these different problems, and they ignore the fact that, it creates a massive fundamental problem, which is that voters don't know what their vote means when they're casting a vote. And, you know, and need to have a lot more information if they're going to, you know, if we're going to be making decisions about who is, you know, is this person my fifth or my sixth choice for county commissioner, right?
Right.
I mean, that's a distinction that to a lot of us may not really have a difference, but it could flip the outcome of an election in this RCV system.
And just to be clear, the way it works at first is that you have to rank all of your candidates in a ranked choice voting system, okay, you know, 1 to 5 or 1 to 8 or however many they're in there. And this could get really complex when you end up having very, very, you know, a whole bunch of people in there. Could you imagine ranked choice voting for president? Sometimes there's just dozens of people running, right? You know, that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, that's right. In New York City, they use this in their city elections. And in the primary, the Democrat primary for mayor a couple of years ago, I mean, yeah, they had, I think it was about a dozen candidates running. And by the time they were done with the counting process, they had eliminated about 120,000 ballots because the voters hadn't ranked enough candidates, right? And you know, they may have ranked 2 or 3, but if you're, you know, if the process is going to go through 7, 8, 9 rounds readjustment and recounting, that's a lot of people who wind up being disenfranchised in that process. And, you know, and again, they don't know ahead of time whether that's going to happen because it all depends on which candidate gets how many votes relative to some other candidates, right? So, you know, voters wind up wondering at the end, well, you know, did my vote count? Did it not count? And it's hard to figure all that out.
Trent, is there a case to be made that ranked choice voting would make it next to impossible to audit an election after the fact because of, unless you just have to completely do the whole count again and do the tallies again, where it would seem to make it much more difficult to try to audit and figure out if an election was on the up and up, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's absolutely right. And it requires centralizing the counting, which I think is the reason why the Oregon County clerks have come out against this.
Mm-hmm.
You have to count in a fundamentally different way because to figure out which candidate has the least number of votes and then eliminate that candidate and then adjust the votes up, right? You can't, you know, if you have a district that crosses two counties or, you know, you take the whole state, right, where you have a whole bunch of counties, you can't do that county by county, right? Because in one county, well, you know, Joe Smith is going to be the least popular, so we eliminate Joe Smith. But in another county,
he'd be popular. He might be popular.
That's
right.
That's right. Yeah, he
might
be the top vote getter, and somebody else gets eliminated. So everything has to be centralized. And that's the same for a recount, right? You can't go and recount, you know, well, we'll just recount a precinct and make sure that this is all valid, right? Because the result that you get in that precinct doesn't mean very much for the whole result. I mean, there are ways to do it, but it's very cumbersome and very difficult. And you know, I mentioned Alameda County, California before. They had an election down there where the computer was programmed just slightly off. It didn't, if voters left a gap in their rankings, the computer did, you know, did one thing with it, but the rules said it was supposed to do something else with it. So you've got voters who are confused. They left the you know, they may have ranked somebody first and third or only second and third, but not first. The people who program the computer are a little bit confused, so the computer counts those ballots wrong. But they certify the election. They have no idea because it's hard. You just can't tell, right, that you made this mistake. Certify the election, put the wrong guy on the school board, and some outside academics were doing their own kind of audit, really some research on the system, and they kept getting different numbers. They call the county, and they realize that they had messed up all of their ranked choice voting elections in the county. They had, you know, again, they had no idea because there's no transparency. It's almost impossible to just tell that there's a mistake. They had to rerun all the numbers. And in this, you know, they were sort of lucky. It was only one election out of all of their local elections where it flipped the outcome. But it took 4 months to get the wrong guy off the school board and the right guy on the school board, all because of ranked choice voting.
Ranked choice voting certainly appears to be a problem. Talking with Trent England once again, and he, of course, is against this. He's a co-chair of the Stop RCV Coalition. What is the main website of that group, too, Trent?
Yeah, we're at StopRCV.com, so folks can just go to StopRCV.com. We've got lots of information and updates there.
What is most amazing, the more I listen to you talk about ranked choice voting, is that imagine these kind of conflicts, not with just one race, but with several races in an election and having to have recounts and centralized counting and people being confused about, you know, how they rank their vote, where if it really mattered. I mean, honestly, you get to the point where you see it happen in ranked choice voting, like what happened in Alaska, that the person who got the most votes the first time ends up not winning. That's just the bottom line, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. And you know, that's just a great example of where the voters wind up just sort of confused by, I mean, how can you have an election where most of the people vote want a Republican to win the congressional seat? Everybody knows it's a Republican leaning state. And then because of this ranked choice voting system, you have a Democrat win and you have tens of thousands of ballots that end up not counting.
Or in a Democratic state like Oregon, in which you could have the Republican win, even though not getting the, you know, as many votes as the other.
That's right. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, voters being confused. One of the problems in Oregon is you would go to your ballot, you'd vote, you'd have ranked choice voting in the federal elections, and then some state elections, and then you'd have normal voting in your legislative elections. And then you, depending on where you live locally, right, you might have ranked choice voting, you might have regular voting. So you're going to have different voting systems that you're using on the same ballot, which I think is, you know, is a very messy way to implement this. And I think another reason why the county clerks think it's a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, the county clerks are right in this particular case. Stop RCV. Is it StopRCV.com? The website
again?
That's right. All right. I really appreciate you trying to explain this, and I'm still a little bit you know, confused about this. And the fact that we do this for a living, you know, studying elections and politics in general, that should tell you that this is not a good way to go. It really isn't. Okay. Thank you so much, Trent, and I hope to have you back, and we'll keep banging that gong, because if you can't explain it simply to people, and if people really can't figure this out easily, it's a bad idea for the election system. It really is, okay?
That's right. That's right, Bill. Thank you so much.
All right, take care now. It's 656 KMED and KBXG.
Saudis drop the petrol, times are changing fast. Russia, China, BRICS, they're shaking off the past. Down in Ashland Town, there's a place to find your trust. J. Austin and Company's where you gotta put your bucks. Dollar ain't as strong, but the silver's gleaming bright.
gotta hedge your bets, make sure you sleep at night. Winding through the hills to that little country store, Jay Austin and Company will help you keep some more. Get your gold and silver, stash it while you can. Future's feeling shaky, better take a stand. Jay Austin and Company, for your silver and your gold.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
If you're considering a new garage door or opener for a new home or remodel, you can't go wrong with American Industrial Door. With their fleet of trucks and technicians in both Josephine and Jackson counties, they can come to you and provide recommendations and samples. Or you can stop by their showroom and explore all of the amazing options. Do what so many other Southern Oregon homeowners have done for nearly 40 years. Trust American Industrial Door on Crater Lake Avenue, north of Vilas Road, and on Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Got something on your mind? Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
Yeah, open phones here for a couple of minutes here on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Join in, 770-5633. By the way, I'm playing the animal bed because I wanted to give you a update on Charlie. You know, Charlie, our new cat that, well, no one's ever going to replace Chester. Chester was such a unique cat, but Chester passed away about a month ago. And Charlie joined the household about 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. He was a shelter kitty, this little kitten. And I was a little bit concerned because we got a kitten because we know that Matt, the 14-year-old Maine Coon, is so persnickety and so grumpy. He's just, you know, he could replace Grumpy Cat online. He just likes things just the way it is. And he did not like Charlie at first. Just like, I'm going to swat you, get away from me. You're just this stranger, even though he would try to get the smells intermixed and all this sort of stuff. And over the last few weeks, Charlie has wormed his little orange heart into Maddie. Finally happened. It's finally broken through just a couple of days ago. It got to the point now where they're sharing bowls, they're sharing the litter box now, sharing the water, and he started playing. And Matt, the grumpy elderly cat here, has started running around. They'll be chasing each other and having fun. He doesn't have nearly the energy that Charlie, the little orange cat, the little orange kitten does. But they're just having a really good time. And you can tell that they finally bonded. And we knew things were great when Matt reached over to him when he was at the water bowl and started licking him. It's the grooming. So grooming is a good thing in the cat world, unlike grooming when you're, you know, at the drag queen story hour, okay? We're not talking about that kind of grooming, but he started saying, all right, kid, you don't smell right. We're going to get you cleaned up here. And it's really getting great now. Charlie is just a bolt of lightning running around the house all the time. It's like, zing, 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 zing. And then he drops dead and sleeps for about an hour. And then zing, 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 and then drops dead. It's amazing. I wish I could give about just 10% of the energy of that kitten, but he's working out really well. I just thought I'd let you know because I was kind of concerned at first. We did not want to have to rehome him, but it broke through. The old elder cat decided, okay, I'm going to tolerate you. Before it was kind of like, get off my litter box, that kind of thing. Let me go to line one here. Take a few calls here. We'll take three or four calls if I feel like it. I'm feeling generous this morning. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Pat.
Hi, Pat.
And I just wanted to thank you for having your guest talking about ranked choice voting. And I wanted to add a little something to that. Wanted to let you know the state Republican Party is opposed to it. and is planning on submitting an opposition statement on the pamphlet in
Good.
November.
Good.
And they have the opportunity to submit it for free if they get 750 signatures on a petition. Now, this petition is statewide, so they really should not have any trouble getting 750 signatures, hopefully.
So the county clerks are against it, Republican Party against it, and I would imagine sensible Democrats are probably against it, too. Anything which makes voting more complex and difficult to understand and parse is just not, we don't need that. We have enough trouble right now.
Exactly. And I wanted to let you know that at the ladies' Republican office, formerly the party office on 311 East Main Street, we have petitions there. If any of your listeners would like to stop by during our hours, Tuesday and Thursday from 10 to 4 and Wednesday 11 to 4, all they have to do is be a registered voter in the state of Oregon. They can sign this petition and we'll send it up to the party.
Very good.
I wanted to let you know I sent you an email about this. And in that email, I have some attachments, some articles about ranked choice voting.
Oh, yeah. I was just looking at your email here, Pat, from the Heritage Foundation, also the No on RCV group and everything like that. Yep. We'll share that, okay? We'll do that.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Bill.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. 770-5633. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
Good morning. Holly Morton, Josephine County.
Holly, how are you doing this morning? So we go from one Republican Party folk to another. How are you?
That's right. I'm good. Happy birthday, Bill.
Well, thank you very much.
Happy belated birthday. We'll be celebrating. There are a number of pebbles in my shoe. Of course, ranked choice voting is a hard no. I mean, it is, don't even take a breath before you say no on that one. And then, but the other thing is this business about recall of John West. I mean, he is a fantastic commissioner. This is just a bunch of political maneuvering, and we are absolutely infuriated about it at the Republican Party in Josephine County. They're just trying to move the pieces around. They didn't get, they lost on 17116, which was the charter amendment where they were going to get a city manager. And I think what's happening, Lily Morgan, running this whole thing, I think she's trying to get a city manager or a county manager position over here. So they're trying to move all the political pieces to make those kinds of things happen. And it's just infuriating. So many lies and distortions of truth. And, blaming things that happened long before he ever got there, like the sale of the gun range and the things. He wasn't even on the team at that point.
Yeah, I wanted to, the stuff that Lily Morgan and her group were bringing up there, I did not understand. And now I did not read the whole thing here. So she was complaining about the sale of the gun range for a buck, that sort of thing.
One of the things. There are several things that they complain about.
But Herman and I have talked about this. Herman and I talked about this dozens of times. And it's like, and now the board was proven right on this one, is that that land is only worth something as a gun range because of all the lead that's out there. You couldn't sell it for more. It's essentially because of the mitigation that would be needed to try to make the use anything else. It's like, come on, people. I don't understand where they're coming from on this. It makes no sense.
Well, they're making no sense on that particular point. But the other thing that's happening right now is that we have to make tough decisions. We're a very poor county, and we're almost a broke county. We lost the timber industry and so forth. So we've got all these financial problems. And what John is a businessman, he's looking ahead and he's saying, okay, we're going to have to cut back some of the staffing because we're very administrative heavy, in our county. We get, a lot of administrative people that we can't afford to have. Whether we'd love to have them, maybe yes, but we can't afford it. So we're looking ahead saying, okay, we're going to be running into a financial crisis. So he's looking at the various different departments, what he can do to combine departments, who we can eliminate. So you have all these people that are thinking, oh gosh, my job's going to be eliminated. Let's just eliminate him. That would be the best move, and then none of us would lose our jobs.
Oh, the jobs will still probably have to be shaped, though. I'll tell you what, Holly, I'm going to talk with John in about 8-9 minutes. So
looking forward to it.
Yeah, because I want to hear what he has to say about this, because I saw this happening. I'm thinking, okay, of all the things to be doing right now, it just struck me as a very odd thing to be doing. Okay. Appreciate the call. Let me go to next line. Hi, good morning.
This guy. And,
yeah. Hello, who's this? Hello. Okay, sorry about that. I don't know who that is, but they're not listening to the phone. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. This is Judy Ahrens.
Hey, Judy. What's up?
Hey. Well, I just want to, on a few days ago, you were talking about a nice neighborhood, a nice street, and Vivian called in, and she's actually correct because we do, she's my next-door neighbor, and we have a fantastic neighbors on our street, Smokey. But what I want to share with you is that how sweet. We have a, I have a fireman, Jim, who's across the street. So we got some groceries together.
Okay, now, okay, I just want to make sure people listening to you probably have no idea what we're talking about here, Judy. Okay.
Okay,
there was someone who called and talked about having great neighbors.
Neighbors, right.
Right.
And we've got them.
Yeah.
We've got them on the street. And Jim across the street, he's a fireman. And so he's gone, and I bring him a little food once in a while when he's home because, you know, he's just a fantastic guy. He's gone a lot now because of all the fires. Young man, about 39. But here's the interesting thing. My next-door neighbor who has little health problems, he's turned 70. Jim's lawn was getting really tall and the grass, and so it's a big lawn. He went over there and mowed it about a week ago. So those are the kind of neighbors we have, and I just want to let you know. We have great neighbors.
And thank you very much, Judy. Always appreciate that. It's great to hear people helping out one another there. Let me go to next line. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. Michael Shaw. Happy Tuesday to you.
Michael, thank you very much. Happy Tuesday to you, too.
I got a little pebble in my shoe sort of thing, and what it basically boils down to is headlines that are not actually factual compared to the content of what they're saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
You know, they don't come on as such. So what sort of triggered this is that basically I got a article sent to me about Seattle being the smartest city in the U.S., followed by Miami and Austin as second and third. And to determine the smartest cities, the 16 indicators that they used, the three main categories were connectivity and infrastructure, sustainability, and the tech job market.
But what does that have to do with being smart?
It has nothing to do with being smart. So they're basically saying that if you're smart enough to plug in a modem or a router, that you live in a smart city. Well, Seattle ranks high because we've got Amazon and Microsoft up here. It's a tech center, right?
Yes.
So does that mean that everybody at Amazon and Microsoft are actually smart? Not necessarily.
There's a lot of that headline kind of writing going on. In which there's just so distorted.
Look at something that looks like it's going to be interesting, and it's about, you know, you look at something that says, hey, how to maintain your lawn, and you come to find out it's all about pig farming or something.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, what goes on with a lot of this is that they write the headlines because quite often many people will just look at the headlines here, Michael, and they will not actually click into the article. But it does have the ability of kind of pushing an agenda if you're trying to drive a certain narrative, you know, through the world. Do it that way, through headlines.
Yeah, it just, you know, I'm at the age where I'm becoming a really grumpy old man, and I just want people to be factual and quick about it.
But it's okay if you're grumpy, too. I won't pick on you, okay?
Well, that's okay.
All
you're
right.
Just a couple of years behind me.
Thanks a bunch. Hey, 10 after 7. Hey, we have Commissioner John West is going to join me here in a few minutes. And we'll have some more open phones, especially after 8 o'clock. We'll have some open phone time. I just want to make sure you know. So I'm going to have to let it go at the moment. But we'll talk about the recall. We're also going to talk with Glenn Archambault about how we're looking with water and farming here. It's been a while since we've had our farming Sherpa on the show. So we'll get him on here in about 25.